Welcome to the Sustainability Agenda podcast. My name is Fraggle Byrne. Every week I speak to leading figures from the world of sustainability and explore the sustainability agenda in marketing and strategy, technology, innovation, investment and finance. We look at the latest thinking, what's working, and the future and evolution of the sustainability agenda. I'm very pleased today to welcome Pierre-François Thallet to the Sustainability Agenda podcast. Pierre-François is co-founder and co-CEO of EcoVadis, a leading platform for environmental, social, and ethical performance ratings for global supply chains. The company provides CSR ratings and scorecards covering 21 CSR indicators, 150 commodities, and 110 countries. The EcoVadis platform is used by 175 companies and over 30,000 of their trading partners to reduce risk and drive sustainability innovation. Well, welcome to the Sustainability Podcast, Pierre-François. I'm looking forward to talking to you about the important work you're doing at EcoVadis. Perhaps we could begin if you could tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to set up the company.
So my background before starting EcoVadis was working for technology companies in the procurement and supply chain space. And I was dealing on a daily basis with the chief procurement officers of large multinationals. And what those guys were telling us is they were faced with an enormous challenge. Each of their companies were, doing business with tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of vendors all over the place. They didn't have the resources, they didn't have the expertise in order to really, and/or the budget, to really, monitor and assess and understand the CSR performance of their vendors and their suppliers on the ESG criteria. And there was also a huge duplication of efforts. Lots of companies were starting with their own, set of questionnaires, with their own audit programs. Of course, suppliers, which are supplying to, dozens or hundreds of customers, were also faced with this huge duplication of effort. And the idea of EcoVadis was to provide an online platform supported by experts. To avoid this duplication of effort in assessing companies, so that companies could focus on using the data, using the metric in their procurement decisions in order to drive improvements in the environmental and social practices in their supply chain.
Right. Now, this is clearly something that's very much on the radar for large companies today. A number of key factors there driving attention to this. Can you talk a little bit about how that's changed over the last few years?
So I think the drivers which are pushing large global multinationals to engage their suppliers and engage their supply chain on CSR topics have not changed. You have mainly three factors. The first one is around risk management. So protecting their brand, avoiding accidents in their supply chain, which will impact their own, operations or disrupt their supply chain, ensuring compliance with the environmental and social regulations. So risk management, was and still plays a major role. The second driver is around cost optimization. So we see many companies realizing that on environmental topics, for example, waste management, energy management, huge portion of their environmental impacts are in their upstream supply chain, and there is way to improve this. And the last driver is in maybe innovation or differentiation. So it's for the most advanced companies. They realize that it's not only about risk management, it's not only about cost, but they can, create better products, or they can, access new markets if they are able to secure business with suppliers who have, innovative materials, who are ahead of regulations and mandatory requirements on environmental or social aspects. So risk management, cost management, and innovation, and so on. Those are the three drivers. Maybe what we've seen changing in the past 9 years is, the broadening of those programs. So 9 years ago, companies in the FMCG, food, retail sectors were quite engaged and quite advanced. But for many sectors, you know, this was a, you know, many industry, oil and gas, extractive industries, and so on. This was not at all on the agenda. And what we see happening year over year is, you know, more companies realizing that this topic is important, that after looking at their own operations, they are now been asked by customers and stakeholders to look at what's happening in their extended value chain.
Right, right. And I suppose if you're measuring, you know, if you're looking at something narrowly defined like water or something like that, it's probably quite easy to, you know, to show some measures of how, you know, much progress a company would have made in terms of its water utilization and things like that. How is there something similar when it comes to looking at supply chains? Is there some way you can, you know, clarify the progress that companies would have made, or how can companies do that?
Yes, so you're right. One of the challenge is that you know, corporate social responsibility is a very wide and very complex topic, and if you factor in the fact that you know, large multinationals are not only purchasing a single category of products, but they are, you know, they might be purchasing you know, steel and road freight and electronic devices and you know, temp labor, and all those sectors and all those suppliers are faced with different regulations, different CSR risks. So this is a complex topic, and one of the challenge which was preventing adoption by you know, by business people, by procurement people, were the fact that it was complex to translate this, you know, into simple metrics. And one of the things that EcoVadis has been doing and is still doing is being able to, you know, analyze practices of vendors across a wide set of, you know, sectors and countries, and be able to, you know, analyze all the, you know, all the documents, the KPIs, the practices, and translate this into a simple index, you know, on a 0 to 100 score, which we break down into, you know, environmental performance, social and human rights performance, ethical performance, supply chain performance, and so on. But having the capability to translate this into metrics and numbers was a factor which drove a much easier adoption by procurement professionals, because now they can use, you know, now they can measure you know, CSR performance of vendors the same way they are measuring financial performance of vendors, or the same way they're measuring, you know, on-time delivery or, you know, logistic efficiency of vendors. And so the, you know, the secret sauce, or the, you know, at the core of the EcoVadis platform is the methodology which allows us to, you know, analyze, you know, practices of companies using different audit protocols, using different type of certifications, using KPIs which might be relevant to different sectors, and translate this into a simple, you know, score.
Right, right. Now, is this a relative score? And is that what you're looking at, or is there some absolute sense that if you reach 100 or something, you know, that that translates into a very specific set of protocols or outcomes?
So the way our scoring is built, it's an it's an absolute score. So you know, what we assess is the management system of companies. So we look at the strengths and the robustness of their policies. We look at the actions they've implemented to deploy those policies, and we look at the results. You know, the key performance indicators, results they have obtained on environmental performance, on health and safety, and indeed, we factor in the relative risk of different industries and different sectors, so that at the end of the day, we can tell, you know, purchasing director at a global FMCG company, you know, suppliers with a score of 50, you know, represent a similar level of maturity, you know, whatever the sector, whatever the countries they operate in.
Right, right. I'm just thinking about this, you know, the top score that you might get. I know Toby Heaps from Corporate Knights recently talking about various sustainability lists, and just saying that, you know, even if you're in the top 50 of the ranking, it doesn't
mean that you're automatically green, in a sense. You know, it means that you know you're on the way and you've made progress and so forth. And I'm just wondering, in that sense, is there, you know, some way of reflecting the absolute scale, what that actually means? Is that changing over time? Could a company, for example, be, you know, getting 87, but in over time that means something different because overall the standards are improving? I'm just trying to translate that into some sense. You know, if you said that a company was making $1 million profit, you can relate to that. I'm just wondering, is there a similar way of looking at your ratings?
Yes. So, yes, indeed. So the way the scoring is built, in some industry sectors or in some countries, you know, we see the best performer scores or the average scores of companies being much lower than in other sectors. So, you know, like the best in a sector will not get 100. It's an absolute scale in this respect. And indeed, you know, we track year over year changes in the scores of companies. So overall, we are seeing that companies, thanks to the feedback we provide, and thanks also to the feedback that you know, our customers or the buyers are providing, or the pressure the buyers are providing, are, you know, they are slowly improving their score. 67% this in the past year, 67% of companies were improving their score year over year. But we also see scores going down, either because, you know, companies have stopped, you know, reporting on specific topics, or stopped being certified on specific topics, or have lower KPIs, or also because the framework is evolving year over year. And indeed, when a new regulation is implemented, for example, on the, you know, conflict minerals, and companies, you know, are not doing anything to ensure they cope with this regulation, their scope might go down. So generally, we see scores going up, albeit very slowly, but we see some companies where the rating is going down, either because they've changed something to their own operation, or they didn't improve their management system to cope with new expectations of stakeholders.
Right. Presumably some areas they're making more progress than others. Some areas are inherently more challenging than others. Some areas are more recently in the limelight, as it were. What would you say are one or two areas where companies are more mature in the way they deal with and manage the risks, and one or two areas where they need to do more?
So the areas where companies are more mature across sectors, because it can vary significantly, you know, depending on the, you know, the commodities or the countries, but it's generally topics which have been under the spotlight for a long time, like you know, waste management, or you know, health and safety, these type of topics where we see the weakest scores and the biggest gaps, or the biggest variation between companies, are on supply chain. So one of the four scores we have is supply chain. So we are measuring what, you know, vendors of you know, Johnson & Johnson are doing with their own vendors, and we are looking at you know, basically how our risks are managed in the lower tiers of the supply chain, and generally supply chain is still the weakest score. So we see many companies having now, you know, robust practices when it comes to their own operations, but just beginning to address what's happening in their extended supply chain, and that's part of the how to say, you know, virtuous circle or the cascading effect, which EcoVadis is also you know, is also creating. You know, many of the 30,000 suppliers which are now using our platform and subscribing to our platform are now starting to engage more of their own suppliers, but that there is still a huge room for improvement in this area.
Right, and is there some, not rule of thumb, but some sense in that you can reflect the scale of the impact of a company's supply chain compared to its overall economic activity? I guess it varies by industry, But if a company's really looking primarily at its own activities, and if you wanted to really measure its overall economic impact and also the ESG factors, presumably the including its supply chain would have a significant impact and increase the scale of its activity. Have you got some way of representing that?
Yes, in financial terms, it's relatively easy to do. Most of the companies we work with, you know, all of the companies we work with, those large global multinationals, between 50% to 70% of their turnover, of their revenue, is actually spent with their supply chain, with their vendors, with their tier one vendors. So, with the 150 global multinationals who are using our platform on the buy side, this represents roughly $1 trillion of business, you know, which is a world that every year that spend. If we look at ESG impact, it's more difficult to quantify, but there are a number of studies which have shown that, for example, greenhouse gas impact are five times more important in the value chain than in the own operation. So, company will have 20% of their greenhouse gas impact in their own operation, 80% in their upstream value chain.
Wow. So it matters a lot.
Yes, it matters a lot, and it's also a critical way to drive adoption of those practices within SMEs, which are private companies, which are not exposed to the type of pressure that large listed companies are, because they are not listed on the financial markets, because they are not they don't have a brand which is exposed to consumers. So, our belief is really that if you want to drive a wide-scale adoption of ESG practices with those 2 million companies, 95% of them being SMEs, you need to, much more than regulators, much more than governments, much more than consumers. The power or the leverage of supply chain is going to be a critical factor.
Right. And what's the scale of your activities at the moment?
So Ecovadis, so we are now 320 employees. We are growing activity 50% or 40% year over year. So we are still growing very, very fast. We have now 30,000 companies across 110 countries, which are which are customers of our platform. Most of them as suppliers. Part of them as brands or as buyers, and so this is they start to represent a significant scale. Our beliefs at the outset of Ecovadis were that we needed to leverage technology and cloud platform in order to have a really scalable model. So, contrary to other rating agencies, our objective is really to be able to cover not a couple of hundreds or thousands of listed companies, but potentially several hundreds of thousands or millions of companies tomorrow.
Right. And how much progress has been made with the SMEs? You talked about the 2 million companies. I guess they could be all at various stages on their journey, and it'll depend by industry. But what kind of measures would you point to show the growing interest in these factors, in ESG factors, and the impact that's taking place?
So, a couple of things. One interesting one is, for example, that when we look at suppliers in Europe, or suppliers in US, or suppliers in China, we start to see interesting things, particularly for China, where we start to see mid-sized companies understanding that CSR and ESG is an important factor for customers and a good driver for business growth. And we start to see some of those mid-sized companies in China having a better performance or having better environmental management systems than their US or French counterparts. Partly because they are very reactive to signals of customers and they're very business driven, partly because they are still investing and they are building new factories and able to invest in new technologies. But it's not as one might think very good good performance of companies in Western Europe and poor performance in Asia. We start to see in average, it's true, of course, but for the best performers, we start to see some of the best performers coming from those emerging countries. So we showed that for SMEs, they can be quick to adapt, and when their end customers, when these large global multinationals send a signal saying that they will give a preference to companies with a good CSR rating, or that they will factor this in their procurement or business award decision, they can be fast to react.
Right. And to what extent, how important a role is regulation playing here? There's a new administration in the United States. The regulation, the regulatory drive, maybe not what it was. To what extent are companies doing this because it makes business sense? And again, how would you reflect these changing drivers?
So I think for the leaders, we work with companies like Nestlé, Unilever, Heineken, Coca-Cola, and so on. They are not so much driven by regulation. They are driven because they understand it's a critical differentiation factor now, that they need to do better than their competition, that it's critical to the resilience of their business, and so on. So for those companies, it's not such an important factor. For companies which are more at the beginning of this journey, it's true that many of them start because they understand they need to comply with regulations, and regulations related to sustainability in the supply chain have been literally popping up all over the globe in the past 5 years. Whether it's the UK Modern Slavery Act 2 years ago, the US FCPA on corruption, the California Transparency Act, the new Devoir de Vigilance in France. So there was a big push for regulations either addressing environmental or forced labor or corruption topics across Europe and US, and this is indeed one of the factors which is pushing less mature or less advanced companies to start engaging on this topic, because they say, okay, well, at least we need to be able to comply with regulations.
And many of these companies might be in industries that wouldn't necessarily be consumer facing, or be parts of industries where they wouldn't necessarily be seen by consumers, and maybe have had those factors driving it in the past.
Yes. No, I actually, if we look at the large multinationals which are using our platform, I would say 80% of them are not customer facing. We have large programs with companies like Schneider Electric, or with industrial energy, with Nissan or Renault in automotive, with a financial services company, and so on. So we see many companies who are doing it because they are B2B, they are a B2B company, but their end customers, which will be B2C companies, are now asking about what's happening in packaging, what's happening in electronics, what's happening in road freight or transportation. So this cascading effect is also pushing companies which are not directly in touch with consumers to start engaging. And sometimes what's interesting, the business signals sent by, in the B2B world are clearer than the business signals sent by consumers. There was a study published, I think 2 weeks ago, by Unilever, saying that one third of consumers were now ready to to give preference to ethical products, and that was a $1 trillion opportunity. But it's still difficult to measure. When you are in automotive and when you are a consumer, when you're a supplier of automotive parts, and when your customer says, okay, you need to have a CSR score of 50 to qualify the vendor, that's very easy to measure. That's a very clear signal.
Right. And what is the, is there an average measure you have for everybody using your system, and where do you want the average to be in the next 3 to 5 years? What would be an impressive rate of progress given the narrow window of time we have to deal with, some of these major global climate change issues particularly?
So the average score across the 30,000 companies using our platform is still low. It's below 50. It's actually 40, around 45 now. We don't have a relative score, so it's close to the average, not by design, but because that's the way we measure companies. Indeed, I think one of the challenges we face is a number of the global sustainability challenges we are facing, such as climate change you mentioned, require very short term drastic change, and most of the companies we engage with, they are more into continuous improvements, incremental improvements. They want the average performance of their vendors move at 10 points over 2 years, and few companies are really thinking in terms of breakthrough or setting up game-changing goals, saying we want to have zero waste in our supply chain, or we want to have zero, we want 80% of our vendors to be carbon neutral, or this type of radical goals. They are more thinking in terms of how can we progressively increase the threshold, or increase the bar, and it's a challenge when we look at the magnitude of the challenges we're faced with.
That's fascinating. I'm mindful of the time, but that maybe just on that last question, this question of radical change, game changing goals. What can be done, do you think? Big organizations can be difficult to change, and people talk about a burning platform that sometimes needs something like that to really create exponential change. And I just interviewed John Elkington, who from Volans, who talks a lot about these exponential technologies and the potential they have, and really exponential thinking. Now, I know a lot of that comes out of West Coast of America and can be quite extreme, but I was wondering, have you some thoughts on how to do this, how to be more radical, and how to get those bigger changes to take place?
Yes, no, it's a discussion we often have with John, who's we are privileged to have him sitting on our board since we started EcoVadis 9 years ago, and I think the solution comes down to two things. So yes, we need to have breakthrough technologies. We need to have really innovative product solutions and so on, and sustainability people and experts and designer are quite good at that. But we also need scale. If we look at some breakthrough technologies like circular economy or breakthrough concept like circular economy, they are very impressive in the result they can achieve, but they are very difficult to scale. So I think what's interesting with supply chain and leveraging the power of chief supply chain officer or chief procurement officer, they are quite good at scale adoption of programs. We typically work with companies where the sustainability team will have very exciting ideas and so on, but one which will difficultly scale, whereas the procurement people are maybe less creative and less innovative, but they are very good at scaling things, at saying, okay, this is going to be used by 10,000 of our suppliers worldwide, or this is going to be used within a year by 80% of our factories and so on. So combining the creativity of sustainability experts and designers and R&D with the process and systemization mindset of procurement and supply chain professionals is, I think, the right, you know, the right combination or the winning team in order to achieve some of the change we need to see.
Fascinating. Are you optimistic?
I am. I think I'm a born optimistic or natural optimistic. Otherwise, I wouldn't be an entrepreneur and I wouldn't have started this process. Some of the changes we see, government changes in the U.S. in the last months or across Europe in the last months, are very, very concerning. But overall, I remain optimistic.
And finally, then, your vision for EcoVadis over the next 3 to 5 years, where do you want to be?
So our vision for the next three to five years is, make those ratings even more, you know, mainstream and recognized and scale. And one of the key things we need to do for this is to leverage the power of, artificial intelligence and machine learning in order to, further automate our platform. So we just completed last month an investment round of 30 million euros in order to provide us with the resources to fund all this R&D investment. So making our ratings even more readable and developing the technology which will allow us to scale them across millions of companies in the future.
That's a great vision, Pierre-François. And thank you very much for taking the time to speak to the Sustainability Agenda today. And I wish you the very best of success in the future.
Thank you, Fagel. And thanks to all of you for listening to the podcast.
Excellent. Thank you for listening to the Sustainability Agenda podcast. I hope you found it interesting. Please sign up at the sustainabilityagenda.com website or on iTunes to make sure you don't miss any future episodes.